Hello, and welcome to Kernel of Truth, a Cumulus Networks podcast where we focus on virtual veracity, legitimate Linux learning, and data center demystification. Whether we're discussing ASICs or back to the basics, you can count on Kernel of Truth for unique insight into the world of open networking. Our topic today is disaggregation in Cisco. What does Cisco think disaggregation means, and why does the company that once claimed they killed white box networking now offer white box support? But before we get into that, let's introduce ourselves. My name is Maddie. I am a member of the content production team. Our guests are Ben and Rama. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Maddie, I'm really impressed by your reporter voice. I've been working on something that sounds really professional. It sounds great.
It's a lot of chamomile tea. Thank you.
My name is Rama Darba, and I am a consultant here at Cumulus Networks. I've been here for about 2.5 years as of recording this session.
Hey, my name's Ben Ritter. I am a consultant on Rama's team as well here at Cumulus, and I haven't been here for quite as long, but definitely enjoy working here.
So we're going to start out with a topic that, you know, not too controversial at all. On March 27th, Cisco announced that they will be offering a disaggregated solution. I wanted to chat with you guys and get some sort of opinions about what this sort of means for the industry. And what do we think Cisco means when they say disaggregation?
I think that's a really good question because of the fact that when we say disaggregation and when the rest of the industry says disaggregation versus what Cisco's press release means when they say disaggregation.
Disaggregation is a concept that's so native to certain industries that they don't really even have, they don't even use a term to describe it anymore. When you build a server, you can't even imagine the old days of buying all the components from one single vendor. Like that's not even a concept that exists today in the server application world anymore. The workflow just naturally is the one that you expect, which is the native disaggregation workflow.
And I think one of the really big key points is that a lot of enterprise companies right now will purchase their servers from, you know, any of these large companies that you're familiar with, but they certainly don't purchase their operating system from that vendor. You know, this isn't like IBM 40 years ago where you'd buy a mainframe and you could run effectively their software on the platform. You know, even if you effectively purchase a completely built server from any of these companies, they're not generally speaking selling you an operating system. You generally have the freedom to install, you know, Microsoft Windows or Linux or, you know, a VMware hypervisor on that hardware, and that's up to you as the customer. So there's that level of hardware versus software disaggregation, which is implicit in the server market and has been the norm for many, many years.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine anyone expecting to buy a piece of server hardware and being hard locked into a piece of software. That is just, I don't think that anyone working in the industry can go back that far, or if they do, they talk about it through, you know, war stories, right? But it's such a standard model for the networking world that this concept of disaggregation is so novel. And you know, you talk to industry peers and then, you know, they see it as something that is just a brand new paradigm, you know, totally novel idea, and then they're scared of it. It is funny because if you look at it as an aggregate across the industry, networking is the only industry that hasn't taken this last step, you know, and it's really interesting to see how nervous people are or even just how, impressed they are by these terms when this idea has been around by every other industry and is adopted with great success everywhere else.
Yeah, I think it's really funny. You mentioned that server people generally don't even know what the term disaggregation is, which, you know, it's so ubiquitous they don't even think about the concept of the fact that they are purchasing their hardware and their software separately. But that's kind of how I define it very, very loosely, is that, you know, hardware and software disaggregation is the ability to split out your hardware and your software purchasing decision such that you can effectively shop out or find the lowest bidder from a hardware perspective, provide that it's compatible with your software. And, you know, this is kind of something that's enabled highly both from, you know, Microsoft being the first commercial OS to do this very largely, and then of course on the open side under Linux because of the fact that the Linux kernel has support for so many different types of hardware.
Let me add something to what you said, Ben. I think you hit on the head, but price isn't the only factor. Let's not also forget that you can find the best in breed solution for your specific customized needs through disaggregation. for the longest time, vendors like Cisco and even Arista and Juniper, for to a lesser degree, when they would offer these closed-boxed traditional solutions, you're hard locked into the speed of the CPU, the disk size, the RAM, the ASIC that they're using, and the software and the feature set on that. If you wanted to mix and match different sets of those components, right? And if you're talking about the software space, right? If you wanted to mix and match various different components that in between these vendors, like best of breed, you couldn't, because you're hard locked that the Nexus 9K can only run NXOS of this version. If you liked some of the other features that exist on other vendors, you couldn't do that if you really like the hardware of, say, the Nexus 9K. It was a nice stable box for you, for example. That's a big component, right? Completely independent of cost, individually. If you look at it as a whole, you could be missing out on a best-of-breed solution that is very powerful for your environment by being locked into basically every component along the chain, right? And that's almost a disservice to the customer to do so, right? It's the unforgiving upsell.
There's another way that you get locked in, and that's the fact that you have to justify and depreciate both the hardware and amortize your software license, because they are tied together when you purchase the hardware and the software together. Whereas in a traditional or an open network where you have the ability to disaggregate, you can effectively split the life cycle of the hardware and the software apart, because you have the ability to either change operating systems or refresh the operating systems or the hardware independently at a much shorter life cycle. And of course, we don't have the time to get into every single nuance, but that can allow you to, very quickly redesign the network or change features if you need to get newer software in the environment to support new business needs.
So it seems like Cisco is sort of blurring the lines a little bit about what it thinks disaggregation is versus what disaggregation has traditionally sort of been. So they're allowing organizations now to run their software on third-party specific specified hardware, not necessarily all open hardware, or run third-party software on Cisco hardware, which is not exactly the way we've thought of disaggregation.
So we got to be nuanced with this. I think for any commercial offering, you're going to inherently end up with, a matrix of support. There is all forms of open hardware, and there's all forms of open software. And I don't think any commercial entity is going to be able to actually sustain and manage supporting everything all the time, right? I think the goal here is to create a matrix that has a solid go-to-market strategy and has like a value in the market. My concern here with the way that Cisco's approaching it is they want a Me Too ideology without buying into the core constructs of what makes disaggregation very successful, right? Their wording feels like it'll benefit Cisco. Obviously, they're a business. They're going to do that. But it doesn't go with the spirit of disaggregation, right? It feels like it's going to be very controlled in their methodology. They'll be able to pick and choose who gets to run on their boxes, and they will be able to vet and only choose a very select set of boxes that they'll run on, most likely the ones that their carrier customers have opted to select, right? So it doesn't really pick the true disaggregation strategy. Now let's compare it to something like a more of a true disaggregation company like Cumulus, like ourselves, right? We have we work with our hardware partners, and we're constantly adding additional new hardware partners, driven both by consumer and customer needs and customer demand, but also as a projection of the devotion to the hard disaggregation philosophy, right? So that's one big component. And of the boxes that we work on, those boxes also support additional operating systems other than Cumulus, right? I won't say the name of the other Voldemort devices here, but there's definitely other operating systems that they run on. Now, the way that you can read that press release almost feels as though you're still locked in to whatever Cisco selects. Maybe they pick and choose only a subset of software that will run on their hardware. still giving you that same lock-in, just feels a little bit more free. When you can walk around the prison yard, but you still got to go back to your cell at the end of the day, right? But also, they might only pick and choose a subset of hardware to run on, which no other operating systems may actually operate on. You're still locked in that way, right? So, you know, I hope they go in all the way. I think it'll validate a lot of where the industry is going, and where especially these big web scalers have already gone and are pushing the industry, and now enterprises following along. But, you know, I think only time will tell. Their business model isn't set up for true desegregation, and they fundamentally will have a conflict of interest because they make their own chips, right? Like, what incentive does a vertically integrated company have to opening up their hardware so any other software can run on it, especially given that their strategy, their business strategy over the past 10 years has been reinforcing, we're not a hardware company, we're a software company, right?
Yeah. Why would they want to enable a market to come in and undercut all their hardware margins and the lock-in that they have in selling both the hardware and the software together is the big question.
Yeah, I like what you mentioned earlier about the press release that they had and the language surrounding it that seemed to sort of toe the line of we're disaggregated now with a little asterisk next to it. I kind of, to me, it felt a lot like what I call the Alanis Morissette effect, which is where Alanis Morissette wrote the hit song Ironic, and none of the lyrics are actually ironic. So everyone suddenly started thinking, oh, irony means a fly in your glass of Chardonnay, and that's not the case. So Cisco is sort of pulling in Alanis Morissette. This is disaggregation. So everyone's starting to go, oh, this is disaggregation. And it's not quite there yet.
Yeah, the parallel to that almost is we're also Linux sort of philosophy, which we see a lot in our industry as well, right? That concept of open. We're open. We see this from other vendors as well, you know, the Aristas as well. They all claim to be Linux friendly, Linux savvy, but they hard lock you into a closed environment. They're using Linux under the hood for resource allocation, but they're definitely not giving you access to the true Linux nature. And I feel this press release reads very similarly to that, where they want to be part of disaggregation, but they're not going to truly give it to the way that the industry has defined that term.
Yeah, I found it very interesting how Cisco kind of put this press release out kind of on the sneaky, as I would describe it, because Cisco has a huge marketing and PR department that's massive and larger than many other companies, you know, as a whole in the industry, and lots of marketing budgets. But they didn't throw their entire weight behind evangelizing this idea as much as possible. And one of the takes from many people in the industry is that they did this specifically to acquiesce the needs of very large customers who required this as a checkbox on a RFP before they committed to a purchase.
I want to go into that point actually a little bit more. Rama, you mentioned carriers earlier and how Cisco just offered a very special service for service providers that they're disaggregating their carrier-grade iOS XR operating system. And it seems like maybe they had an incentive to do that. What do you think of the idea that maybe a customer sort of pushed them towards that?
No doubt. The industry is going this way. And a lot of the engagements that we've stepped into, you know, Ben, myself, and all our peers, it is a mandatory requirement nowadays that enterprise customers, and let alone carriers and web scalers who are even bigger and probably are even more forced into this, are required to look at a disaggregation solution as part of their strategy. And that line item shows up as many different things. Sometimes it's called open networking. Sometimes it's called white box. Whatever it is, the core construct that they're looking for is a strategy where they don't have vendor lock-in into software and hardware, where their network can be held hostage by a single vendor, right? To me, I see it more of long lines of, you know, welcome finally to the party, right? Like, this is the industry's going there anyway. I think it was just a matter of time before we saw an announcement like this, mainly because they have to. They can't force customers to, you know, change the line items in their RFPs.
Yeah. And Rama, the other point I'd make is, even if you agree that Cisco is completely disaggregated, which I wouldn't make that case because there's so many asterisks and caveats with respect to the hardware that you could find that's actually supported that will run the software that they are claiming is disaggregated. Just because you disaggregate, meaning you separate the software from the hardware in your purchasing decision, doesn't make you an open networking company. Like, I don't understand why you would want to go and buy white box hardware and then install Cisco software on top of it. Like, why would I go buy white box and then go pay for a closed OS that's hard for me to manage to put on that platform? So if anything, it's a means of the customers protecting themselves. You know, they want to be able to go out and buy a white box, and maybe their teams are currently skilled only on Cisco software, but they don't want to be locked in and want the ability to run other software in the future. And same goes in the opposite direction. You know, if they are purchasing, for example, this Nexus that supports SAI or Switch Abstraction Interface, you know, the customers might be requiring that because there is a potential in the future that they would take that Nexus device that they know is built with merchant silicon, if it's an i9300, and then in the future potentially run some other OS on it. And, you know, if you look at Cumulus's website, for example, we have a very long hardware compatibility list. And, you know, we are slowly but surely approaching more than 100 different types of hardware switches.
Do you know, if anything, I'm actually really looking forward to this announcement. If they go in all the way, if they said, what did the announcement say? NXOS lines, right? Probably mostly carrier boxes. Now,
some iOS XR.
Yeah, right? Some iOS XR. You know what would be wonderful? If they committed to it, truly committed to disaggregation, right? Then we'd end up in a nice place where all these data centers that have already bought, like you said, 9300s that have commodity Broadcom ASICs inside, at any point, these customers can put a one-to-one bake-off against an XOS versus Cumulus Linux versus all the other vendors out there, EOS, JunOS, Pika 8. If everyone adopts an open disaggregated strategy, then it's just a horse race. And that's really good because the industry benefits the most from it because it forces greater competition, but also the consumer wins the most out in the end. You know, imagine being able to just swap out software without having to recable and replace hardware. You already got the 9300s racked in there, but I wanted to put a new piece of software on there. That's wonderful. Or if you wanted to swap out the hardware, but keep the original operating system, that's a wonderful option as well. So I'm all for this. The actual end use case is so wonderful. That's why I want to believe, as Fox Mulder says,
yeah,
that it goes all in, right? That they are truly committed to this. And if it is the NXOS line and carrier systems, hopefully something like data center is going to be next because the industry is already there, right?
Yeah, and Rama, it's something we've always taken into the calculus as Cumulus. You know, when we sell white box switches to a customer, we could certainly lose that customer in the future if they aren't satisfied with our software. There's always the risk that the customer could then go and find another open networking operating system and replace our operating system on that existing switch. So as a result of that threat, I would assert that our software quality is better as a result of the fact that we are aware that it is that much easier to replace our software in the network. And I'd say it makes us fight a lot harder as opposed to another incumbent vendor, whereas once you buy their hardware and you rack it and you stack it and you move all your cables into that big heavy chassis, which sits, you know, for eternity in that rack, you're locked into their software because of the fact that it's so difficult to migrate things off of their hardware platform. Whereas with us, because it's so much easier to effectively bring in software competition, I'd assert that our software quality is that much higher.
I find that really interesting, actually, especially when you're diving into what would the environment look like if Cisco did go fully over to the light side and embrace disaggregation. So I actually want to, let's spend a little more time in that. Let's go a little deeper. How would that affect the industry as a whole or other vendors?
Well, I think the biggest win is the price of a lot of these products are going to drop big time, right? And more so, I think, fundamentally, some of these traditional vendors, and I don't think Cisco's the only one, there's a lot of traditional vendors, would need to adopt this business model all in and change what their unit economics looks like. Because right now, Cisco operates primarily on the fact that they make big margins, right? I don't think that's a doubt in anyone's mind. The industry already knows this. They are an organization that operates on 70%+ margins, and that's what they want to operate on. Now, all else being equal, they can operate on that because they're hard locked. All the things that Ben just basically said, once you put that big, you know, big beefy chassis box in your environment, nothing's pulling it out, right? So, you know, you're beholden to them. Long term, now if you could pull out that operating system and you no longer had to pay for the license or the SmartNet contract or anything on top of that anymore, you'd be forced to operate not only in sharper margins, but like in higher quality for better goods, right? And I think that's really important. So firstly, I think there would be a shift in commitment to co-quality and a more of a shift into a consumer-first mentality, which I think our industry has might have gotten away from being beholden to really a monopoly of two or three major players in the market for so long.
Yeah, I think another thing that people frequently overlook in the cost of being locked into a vendor where you haven't disaggregated is that should you need a replacement of a switch, there's only a single vendor now that can get you the replacement and get you the support that you're entitled to. So now you're paying for very expensive support contracts to get you RMAs within a certain time window, as well as for software support and the ability to call their TAC or support organization. Whereas, as we found with many of our largest customers, instead of paying for a really expensive contract to keep hot spares in warehouses and silos around the world, they'll simply buy another white box switch and have a cold spare because it's so cheap. And as a result, they're able to save so much money in terms of support costs because they aren't paying for these crazy SLAs back to the incumbent vendors to be able to ship them or drop ship them a switch at 3 o'clock in the morning.
24/7.
Yeah. Tell me how expensive it is, especially if you're a large Fortune 500 company with offices all over the world dealing with customs and all the different regulations to be able to have a switch dispatched to every corner of the world. You know, you deal with companies that frequently have large presences, not just in the US, but in Europe and in Asia and Latin America. And it can be very hard for these companies from a logistical perspective, and they spend tons of money simply in support contracts. Whereas if they were to enable a true disaggregated or white box model, they could simply buy a spare and keep it on site.
Yep. I think the industry is going to shift in another way too. A bunch of new technologies are going to come out that's going to make it a lot easier to be able to swap back and forth between different pieces of hardware and different pieces of software. We're already seeing the prominence of a technology called Oni, which is...
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Once or twice.
Well, what is that
thing?
Around
the office.
Yeah.
So, it stands for something, yeah. Open Network Install Environment, Rama?
Maybe. Yeah. It's an acronym, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Oni is already being leveraged in the disaggregation market to make it easier that these white box switches can run any piece of software. So instead of going through complex installation mechanisms, you can just leverage this piece of bootloader software to put any operating system on it. And being able to jump between vendors becomes, you know, a fraction of time, maybe 5 minutes at most, to get the operating system installed and switched between different vendors. I think that's very powerful. And other components like that are going to crop up that's going to make it easier to be able to pick and choose all the individual, to leverage the choice in the market and allow the consumer to have more power to do so. You know, and that's just one of the many features that, you know, will make that easier.
I want to go into a little more. You mentioned choice and that giving power to the customer. When I hear choice and freedom and the ability to customize to what you want, I see that as a benefit. However, Cisco has a tendency to leverage that as sort of as a disadvantage. And even in their press release where they went that, well, sure, you know, there are certain types of customers like web scale companies that really need our disaggregation. And most people prefer complete systems. Quote, it was the burden of having design and development teams creating and stitching together hardware and software.
I think it's hilarious because they're basically saying that, oh, the entire application server and software development market doesn't adhere to this claim that the networking industry must adhere to, which is the burden of being able to test software on hardware and buy it all prepackaged. If it was such a big deal, right, then why wouldn't more application companies that do hosting and whatnot follow that same model, right? And they don't, because it's not an important factor, right? Generally speaking, you will have guidance through an industry that is now catering towards this option of choice, and competition will inherently drive, you know, winners and losers in this market, which is good. So there will be optimal solutions that bubble to the top and the ability to pick and choose. With Cisco claiming that no one wants it, that's not true. You know, people might still end up buying Cisco, but they want that option to be able to run any software on any hardware.
I feel that Cisco is almost reaching out a lot of these open networking companies out of fear and trying to allege that we're kind of cobbled together with bubblegum and duct tape, you know, and that we're not a complete solution. And the truth is, we've been out for years and our software has matured very much so. And in many ways, I'd honestly say it's a lot easier to manage a Cumulus environment because we've had the benefit of effectively starting fresh. You know, our company is built of incredibly seasoned networking professional, and we have tons of talent that's been around this industry for a long time, you know, including some people who've worked for many of these other vendors. But you know what? They've learned from some of the mistakes and lessons learned from the past. And as a result, they've started fresh with a new network operating system that really is open. And as I mentioned before, just because you disaggregate and you run Cisco's closed operating system on open hardware doesn't make that platform better. It doesn't make it more easy to manage, to use, to operate, to extract telemetry information out of. All these things are still problems that you would encounter with NXOS, regardless of whatever hardware you're running on.
So let's not kid ourselves. Cisco already does disaggregation in a big part of their market. They've got a lot of management tools that are pieces of software that will run on any x86 processor, right? So they've got, or historically have had, Cisco Prime, ASDM, the Cisco Security Manager. Those are all, you know, ISOs and VMs.
Yeah, they have any number of software products which they release as OVAs, which can be run on VMware, or is released as a QCAL 2 image, which can be run on a KVM hypervisor.
Yeah, and some of them even on Zen hypervisors potentially, right? I think the CSR 1000V has a Zen variant on it. You know, they already do disaggregation. They already do, right? They just do it in very select markets and they do it very quietly and they don't talk about it, right? But how much of a bigger step is it to go from that model, right, from different industries that they already have, which is even their virtualization products to their management platforms, to really their core networking operating system? It's not unfathomable to talk about that little step, you know? Yes, maybe a little bit more hardware compatibility testing that they'll need to do, but you know what? A small company like ourselves, with only 150 folks, we get it right. We do it. So maybe a company of 60,000 and market cap of, 40 billion, I'm sure they'll figure it out. I don't think it'll be that hard. So, you know, they are, I guess my point here is that we talk about it as Cisco being a big, you know, detractor from disaggregation. And I contend they already are doing it a lot. I think as a marketing strategy, it makes sense to them in certain networking spaces to reinforce their current business model. But it's just a matter of time before the industry is basically where we are already. And I contend we can go even further, right? And I wouldn't be surprised if the industry goes there in the future.
I agree. I think this is, if anything, evidence that Cumulus's strategy is working. You know, we created this open networking market by inventing ONI and effectively giving it out to the whole open networking ecosystem. ONI is now effectively the de facto standard to bootstrap operating systems onto white box switches. So if anything, this move shows that disaggregation is working. It is an important step within open networking.
So Maddie, I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
So we've told you a whole bunch about disaggregation, right? What do you think? Well, what's your opinion after reading that article and hearing, you know, us blather on about how great disaggregation is and how great Cumulus does it. Obviously, we've got vested interests, right?
But, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, I know, right? I definitely don't want to see our company do successfully.
Yeah.
Right? But no, in your opinion, what do you think?
I mean, when I read the article, of course, I see it from a marketing perspective, and I think that was mentioned a bunch of times. It does seem a little like they are sort of trying to distract away from the fact that they're not fully disaggregated. Like you said, they are disaggregated in some ways, but it's not really to the extent that we are, right? And so for me, it felt a little like some smoke and mirrors to say that Cisco is disaggregated now. And I keep seeing article titles that say, you know, now Cisco's disaggregated, and that's not actually the truth of it, but everyone seems to be, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid now. So I look at it and say, from what you've told me about what the future could look like, the Narnia we could all be a part of where everyone's disaggregated, I think that sounds fantastic. And I don't think it's impossible for Cisco to take those steps. But do I think that they've really taken a step right now? Not really.
They'll get there. They'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out. Thank you for listening. And thanks to Rama and Ben for joining me. If you want to know more about the differences between working with proprietary and open network operating systems, head to cumulusnetworks.com and check out our networking how-to video series. We'll include some links in the description, and you might recognize someone familiar. It's Rama. Also, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, follow us on Twitter and on Slack, and let us know if you have any questions or topics you want us to address. Your feedback could appear in an episode. Thanks again, and see you later.